Shall we begin?
Let's begin now.
Hi, this is Muffet McGraw, head coach at the University of Notre Dame, and you're listening to Dishin' and Swishin'.
Hi, everybody. This is David Siegel, and it's great to welcome y'all back to a Dishin' and Swishin' podcast. And, you know, I had to use y'all because we're talking a little Southern basketball today. You know, we're going down to the state of Virginia, where a good friend of the Dishin' and Swishin' podcast has relocated to Virginia Tech University and is killing it over there. The Hokies are on fire, ranked for the first time since 2006. And it's a pleasure to welcome Coach Kenny Brooks back to Dishin' and Swishin'. Coach, how are you?
David, I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me on. It's one of my favorite times to be on with you guys. Thank you.
Well, it's always a pleasure. So, Coach, first things first, is there any truth to the rumor that the first question in the interview that you had to get the job is, tell me what a Hokie is?
It is. And, I didn't have the answer right away. And I had a little time to get my bearings together, but very quickly the correct answer is I am. And I've learned to say that, and, what's a Hokie? I am.
That sounds great. And, you know, I think you keep winning like that, and I think the entire state of Virginia, not just the Blacksburg area, is going to be saying that. So let's talk about the success of the season. 12-0, you know, ranked at up to number 23, second best start in the history of the school. Now, you know, you come in with a high record of success, and people expected big things from you taking over, but even you have to be surprised by how quickly that this team has come together.
Oh, no question. You know, and I wish I could sit here and tell you that I saw it coming and I knew exactly what I was getting into. But, you know, the lure of going to Virginia Tech wasn't actually the personnel that brought me there. Obviously, Whit Babcock and I go way back. I love his demeanor. I love what he's doing at Virginia Tech, and that lured me there. And when I got there, David, I even told the kids this. I said, you know, when I watched you guys play and we worked out for the first time, I wondered to myself, what did I get myself into? And I just didn't really know how they were going to grasp everything that I was teaching. I even had a moment where I thought maybe I was going to have to conform to their talents and their abilities as opposed to having them conform to my style of play. And, you know, one by one, day by day, I just watched them progress. And the biggest thrill for me is how receptive they've been to change. Anything that I've asked them to do, they've done it without question, without hesitation. You know, it was for some, it wasn't for others. And the ones who have really bought in the core, they're tremendous. Tremendous, and I'm watching them grow by leaps and bounds every day. But for me to say that I saw this from day one, I'd be lying to you. You know, to think that they would be this far along this quickly, I never saw it in a million years. But trust me, I'm tickle pink. I love the progress they're making. I love the high ceiling that they have because I think that they are just touching the tip of the iceberg of what they can be. And that makes me really, really excited.
Well, you know, if anybody had watched Kenny Brooks' teams at JMU, they knew that you played defense, you played up-tempo, and you tried to protect the ball. And so far, those are the trademarks of your Virginia Tech team. You know, you're outscoring your opponents by almost 20 points a game in the non-conference part of your schedule. But the biggest thing is, you know, in those games, you've got only 145 turnovers, and your opponents have gotten 205. So, you know, that's a biggie. Obviously, you know, you're protecting the ball brilliantly, and that so many good things happen when you can do that.
Yeah, no question. That is the formula. That's the remedy that we were trying to achieve, and we did that at JMU. And with these kids, they come out and they understand tendencies where they're going to be. They have great chemistry amongst themselves. But you know, we played Bradford last night, and you know, I love offense. But 5 years ago, we really dug in with my system to really focus on the defensive end because defense will always travel. And we played Raptor last night, and we're up-tempo, and we got things going. But Coach Mike McGuire, he sent me a text after the game, and he said, you know, your offense is very potent, but your defense is very underrated. And he said, you guys guard the lane, and you're really there, and you box out, and you rebound. And that made me feel really good because these kids are really bought into the system and understanding what they have to do. They're playing for each other, and then they're also playing freely. They're playing aggressively. They're playing smart. and they're doing a really good job of not forcing things, and therefore we're taking care of the basketball. And when you take care of the basketball, you give yourself more opportunities to score. And these kids are really understanding what we're trying to accomplish, and so far we've had a lot of success.
You know, only Auburn on the road in that OT game, you know, they scored 87 points. That's the only team to score 70 against you guys this year. I mean, you guys are really shutting teams down. And that includes, you know, a Nebraska team that can put some points on the board, and especially a Tennessee team that was ranked 17 at the time. You held them down to 63 points, down to only 63 points. So the defense is certainly, like you said, stepping up and doing things. And that's going to be needed as you head into, you got one more non-conference and then the fun starts with that conference schedule.
It is. And the kids are really buying in. And one of the things we like to tell the kids, we have a nice offensive system, but we don't put a lot of restrictions on them. We work with them on individual play. We let them know what's a good shot, what's a bad shot, what shots we're looking for, you know, during individual instruction. And so we really want them to play freely. So if we get stops, we want them to kick it up. And if we have a good shot in the first 10 seconds of the shot clock, take it. You know, take it. And so they're understanding that our offense is going to be fed by our defense, and they're buying in. And it helps, too, when you have, you know, the steals leader in the nation in Shanette Hicks. David, I can't tell you, I've had to just regroup and rethink my defense because we're really all about team defense, helping each other out. And, you know, one person moves, the other person has to rotate with them. But I almost have to let her go. I have to let her go because she's so special in the defensive end and the way that she disrupts a game with her defensive prowess. I just have to let her play her own defense, so to speak. And as a result, she had 8 steals last night and didn't play the last 9 minutes of the game. And so she's just terrific. Then I have a kid in Reagan McGarity who anchors my defense. Shanette's the one who gets the steals, but Reagan's the one that's in the back, you know, telling everyone where they need to be, and the exciting part. But those two kids, they're only sophomores, and I'm very, very excited what they can be.
Well, you beat me to it. That was what I was going to say. I said, you know, and you've got a mix. You got a couple of seniors out there that are doing good things too, but those two are sophomores. So you got that nice young and old mix in there. But, you know, everybody's been talking the last couple games since they've been on national television about UConn, you know, going with the iron squad because of injuries and stuff. But, you know, you've got a group that you pretty much go 7 to 8 deep, you know, as your team has been playing. So, you know, those five in particular, Hicks, Cook, McGarity, Panousis, and Hill are really stepping up. And, you know, it's clear that they've bought into your system and have adjusted very quickly to the things that you've asked them to do.
I think the best thing that the best way I can tell that they have bought in is that they'll send me random texts and they'll say, "We love playing for you." And I'm like, wow, you know, as a coach, that those are the things that you want to hear. But the thing that I have with this group, David, is that every one of the kids you just mentioned, they've all hit the 20-point plateau one time this year. And when you have 5 kids who are capable of putting up 20 points in a game, it gives you a lot of options. And it doesn't allow the other team to be able to focus on one kid. And they're so versatile. You know, Reagan McGarity has, you talking about buying in and being receptive, she's a European kid. She's a natural 4, and we're asking her to play the 5 this year. She's gotten stronger. She bangs. She's like a walking double-double for us. And also her versatility, she can pull any 5 out, and we can run a spread offense, or we can run a pounded inside offense. And it just gives us so many different options, and it's really hard to guard us because you just don't know who to focus on. And they play for each other, and, you know, when we start getting really good is when instead of coaching to the younger kids or taking it slow with the younger kids, I felt like I was holding that group back because they're so smart. Their IQ is through the roof. So we started to just go at their pace, and then the younger kids start picking it up little by little. And then we started to really just skyrocket as far as our potential, and we started getting better and better and better. And I think that's been a big, big reason for our early success.
You know, and you are allowing them to step out, shoot the 3. You know, McGarity, as one you mentioned, has almost taken more 3s this year already than she did all of last year, and Hicks has. So, you know, you're letting them stretch and feel the way that they want to play. And, you know, this is the trademark of what has made you so successful. I mean, it's not a fluke that you spent, you know, the last 11 seasons, you know, in postseason play at JMU, and you've put people like, you know, Tamara Young and others into the pros. I mean, they realize what they got there, and it took a long time for you to decide to move on. What was it that about Virginia Tech that, in particular, you know, for a Virginia guy, you know, you could have probably waited out longer and seen what else was there, but this seemed like the opportunity that you wanted to finally move on and step up to, you know, ACC ball from, you know, the Colonial where you were?
Well, I mean, I thought timing was everything. You know, I felt like that at James Madison. We worked hard, and it's my alma mater, and I love James Madison. But, you know, I even had, you know, some of the administration say that there's not much more we can do for you. And, you know, you would love to be able to continue to build. But, you know, you always want the challenges of the highest level. And I had opportunities to, you know, look elsewhere, you know, plenty of times before, but it just didn't feel right. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, Whit Babcock and I go way back. He's our athletic director. We played high school ball against each other. And then actually we went to JMU together. He played baseball. So there was some familiarity with him. I knew, you know, the buzz that he was creating at Virginia Tech. And I felt like it was an exciting time. And I felt like that, you know, it's a good time to make that move. And, you know, I took a leap of faith. Everything just felt right. My wife was on board. We made the move, and I was very unique because my children, they were the ones that I had to really, really think about. My oldest daughter, Kendall, has signed to come play with me at James Madison. My middle daughter, Chloe, was stepping into a new role in her high school team where she was going to have a more prominent role on a state championship caliber team. And they had never moved. They'd only lived in Harrisonburg their whole life. Their grandmothers both live in Harrisonburg. Their family lives in Harrisonburg. So it was a tough decision for me, but, you know, my wife was 100% on board. My kids were reluctantly on board. and when we made the move, you know, the biggest adjustment for me was just making sure they were okay. And so I hadn't moved in about 18 years. So that's been the biggest adjustment. But, you know, I just felt like the timing was right. And I'm not going to sit here and say that it was all, you know, roses. When I got there, you know, you make a transition, you know, you're trying to learn a new school, there's going to be some difficulties, but Hokie Nation has been fantastic in welcoming us there, and, you know, more and more we get settled in, you know, great things are happening, and I'm excited about the future and what it holds for us at Virginia Tech.
You know, perception becomes reality in people's eyes, and you know, I'm not going to lie, I in part had the perception of Virginia Tech prior to their decision, a commitment to you, that this was a school that, you know, it's a football area. Football's a big deal. Virginia Tech had some success in men's basketball, but we never saw, I thought, a commitment to the women's game. And playing in a conference like the ACC, you want to see that kind of commitment, obviously. But, you know, as I mentioned, this is the best start since 2006. But committing to you, and it seems like the resources and everything they're giving to you is, you know, maybe either we were wrong with what we were thinking, or there is a renewed commitment to the women's game. Have you felt that the administration, everybody, I know you're friends with the AD, I hate to put you on the spot, but have you felt that the administration is behind the team and that you're getting all the support you need to grow this program into an ACC power?
Absolutely, 100%. If I didn't feel that way, 100%, I never would have left James Madison. James Madison was home. The commitment that James Madison puts towards women's basketball is unprecedented. I mean, I felt like it's like we were on equal grounds with everyone else at James Madison. So if I didn't feel the same way about Virginia Tech, I would have never left. Now, you have to understand that football is king, and what Coach Beamer built there is probably why Virginia Tech is as popular as it is. So you understand that. But we're walking in, you know, Whit, you know, he assured me that they were going to be, it's going to be a renewed interest in women's basketball, and that's the only reason that I looked at it. You know, maybe in years past they didn't put as much emphasis on women's basketball, but I do look back when Bonnie Henderson had, you know, much success at Virginia Tech. I felt like I was a part of some of that success because we were playing them a lot, and I remember walking into that building and the excitement, you know, the fan support that they had, you know that it can be done there. And since we've been there, I think we've doubled attendance already from last year's attendance. We're putting out a brand that, that people can really wrap their hands around. They love to watch it, and it's a renewed interest. And so I'm excited about that. We have a long way to build it, but I think we do have the resources that we can be successful in the ACC. And I think we have a great staff, and the kids really love the style of play. And, you know, and recruiting has really picked up. You know, we're talking to kids that, you know, we're going and we're battling, you know, some of the big boys, so to speak. You know, I'm going against the Tennessees or the Kentuckys or the Georgias and everyone to try to get kids. And obviously you're not going to get them all, but if you can sneak a couple in and, you know, with our way that we love to teach kids, you know, you hit on it earlier. I'm an old school guy. I'd much rather do an individual workout than go to shake hands and kiss babies. And, you know, and that's what our kids, and that's how we get Tamara Young from James Madison into the WNBA, Jasmine Guatney's into the WNBA, is because we put a lot of time and effort, energy in our kids individually. And I think that's paying off with our kids right now.
So what's different in your perspective when you go to recruit now from the kids that you were looking at James Madison? How difficult was it to adjust to, okay, maybe I can get these kids because now I'm in an ACC school versus James Madison? Not a slight at all on any of the kids that you've had there because they've been phenomenal. But, you know, when you start looking at the ACC, it does change the dynamic considerably.
No question. And, you know, sometimes the ACC, being in the ACC can be a positive and also can be a detriment. You know, being in the ACC is going to get you the opportunity to get into higher profile players' homes. But the detriment is that you look at your schedule and you might have to play Louisville, Notre Dame, Duke, and Carolina back to back to back to back. And so, but it's a challenge that I definitely wanted. You know, just going in, just the doors that have been opened for me, you know, in recruiting. You know, we're talking to kids who are, you know, who are ranked extremely high, and they're very receptive to listen to what we have to say. And a lot of that has to do with our past experience. You know, when you can go to James Madison and you can have, you know, three kids in the last, you know, 6-7 years been drafted into the WNBA, not a whole lot of schools can say that. And I don't think any school in Virginia could have said that. And so that reputation, you know, with amongst AAU coaches and everyone, they share it with the kids. It gets you in the door. Now, we have to do a great job of closing the deal, and we started to do that. We've got a couple kids who are coming in next year that I'm extremely excited about. And then when we really get our feet wet and had a lot of time to recruit kids in the 2018 class, I think it's going to pay dividends as well. But, you know, just being in the ACC gets you in the door. Your reputation of what you've done in the past helps you stay in it, and then we just have to close the deal from that point on.
All right, now you mentioned the conference play being a detriment. Now, you know, every team gears up towards the conference, and you start that way. You know, you've done that, of course, over the years, and you always looked and you saw difficult matchups. So tell me what your first thought was when you looked at the schedule and said, oh, man, instead of Delaware, I've got North Carolina, Miami, Florida State, Notre Dame, Louisville. What was your first thought when you looked at those?
Well, it really hit me, like, everything happened so fast. You know, our conference tournament was over, and we just played an NCAA tournament, and then, you know, I got contacted by the Virginia Tech, and, you know, that they brought me down, and, you know, I thought it was going to be a long process. I thought it was, okay, they were going to bring me in, they were going to bring, you know, a couple other people in, and they were going to talk. Well, when I got there, you know, Witt, you know, because of our relationship, he just said, look, hey, you're it. You're the one we want. And I'm like, oh, so I started looking at it differently. But I'm still, you know, checking out facilities, talking to people, getting the vibe and everything. And then I agreed to the job. We did my presser maybe 3 or 4 days later. And, you know, still everything was a whirlwind. And I finished the press conference, you know, and I'm just like exhaling. And I have an 11-year-old daughter. Her name is Gabby. And we're walking out hand in hand, and we're swinging hand in hand. And I'm making sure she's okay. And she looks at me, and she's got excitement. She says, so, Daddy, so now we get to play Notre Dame? And I said, yes, baby, we get to play Notre Dame. And she said, and we get to play Louisville? I said, yes, baby, we get to play Louisville. She said, and Duke? I said, yeah. She said, and Syracuse? I said, and by this time, I'm like, daggone it. Said, yeah. So it didn't hit me until she was telling me about it. And then I'm thinking to myself, oh, my goodness.
Let's go buy – Daddy's going to buy you a Twix bar now.
Yeah. But, You know, and even then, I'm looking at the schedule, and we're going to have, I mean, every game's going to be tough. But there's an extremely tough, you know, stretch that we're going to have. But I'm looking at it a little bit differently now, you know, and just as much as I'm worried about playing, you know, those teams, I think now when they're seeing us on film, they're a little bit worried about playing us as well. And so with that in mind, it eases your mind a little bit because now you feel like, because now I know what we have and what we're capable of doing, I think that we can go out and we can compete with anyone. We just have to go out and play a little bit better than they do.
Coach, congratulations on the job and a great start. The team is a lot of fun to watch. It's great to see you know, see you on TV as often as you have been on, well, streaming. I still say it's TV.
Right.
But congratulations, and you know it couldn't happen to a nicer guy to see the success that you've had this year, and you know the team would be foolish not to buy into what you do, the way that you've had the success at JMU and all, and you know I wish you a happy and healthy holiday and New Year, and good luck as the ACC season kicks in.
Thank you, David, and like always, I always say this, and I really mean it. You know, you're one of the great ones to help our women's game grow, and I really appreciate everything you do. And thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure, Coach.